Welcome to Jaipur Bites, the JLF podcast. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This episode is a live session from day 4 of Jaipur Lit Fest 2023, and it's called Independence. Chitra Banerjee Divakaruni in conversation with Aanchal Malhotra.
Since it's a book launch, we also have a special guest to help us launch the book today. She's also known these days as the mother-in-law to the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. May we please have Ms. Sudha Murthy up on stage to launch the book.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have really any work here other than receiving Chitra's book, Independence. And it's a great joy. Number one, this is a very good book. Second, Chitra is a good friend of mine since 35 years, so it's always a joy to meet your friend who is so creative, so well-known, and very, very good friend. Chitra, I have a small suggestion. In partition, Bengal was divided into two parts, and today's Bangladesh people immigrated to Calcutta, and that's your book on this. And Ms. Malhotra, you have written on partition from Punjab, West Punjab and East Punjab or Pakistan to India. Now, may I request, Chitra, you should write one more book that Sindhis from Karachi immigrated to India, whereas Punjabis from Pakistan, they still have a land. Bengalis from Bengalis in Calcutta, still they came from Bangladesh, but Karachi, Sindh people from Karachi lost their land forever. And that's really much more difficult than losing your entire identity of the land at Karachi, where they were 49%. So may I request the creative mind of Chitra Banerjee to create the agony, the adventure, the hardworking Sindhi people, how they made it. And that will be your next book. And let's meet again in Jaipur Festival to release that book. Thank you. Dhanyawad. Enjoy the session.
Good morning, everyone. Full house, thank you for being with us this morning. I'm not going to waste any time introducing the novel. In fact, we're going to get straight into conversation. Chitra, you've written several novels on the contemporary time period, particularly the diaspora experience, but of late, you've been moving back into history with your subject matter, mythological fiction, historical fiction, and now partition and independence. Can you tell us why you chose this subject matter and chose to situate your plot during this time period?
Yes, Aanchal, that's a great question. I'll get to it in just one moment. I just want to thank the Jaipur Lit Fest organizers and the wonderful Teamwork Arts people for putting on this great festival for all of us. Let's give them a hand. They work so hard at this. I'm delighted to be invited back to Jaipur and just delighted to be in the company of people after all the long COVID years where we only could do things online. The energy here is so great, and I know you have so many choices today, like right now, and I'm delighted you've chosen the best one. I also have to show off for you for 1 minute my sari. It is a Kantha Shari from Bengal, and it's important because the Kantha art of Bengal has a big part to play. It was a great way for women to be independent, especially in difficult times like when the partition was going on. So I just wanted to commend them by wearing this sari. I respect them. Please repeat the question.
Why write on the subject of partition and independence?
Yes, that's a great question. It really started, I started thinking about it, I should say, I started thinking about it consciously after I wrote my previous novel, the historical novel, The Last Queen, about Maharani Jinda Kaur, wife of Maharaja Ranjit Singh. And she was a wonderful woman. She was so brave. She was so feisty. She was just amazing and forgotten by history, erased by history. It was a delight to write about her. But her story ends when the British are in full power. And it's very sad. It's a very sad moment in Indian history that in spite of everything she does, they take over Punjab, they take the Kohinoor, they take her son, they take all of that to England. And I did not want to leave that story there. It was very important for me to trace it to the end of that movement when the British have to themselves leave India and we gain our independence. For me, that was really important. So that was one thing. The second thing was, when I was growing up, my grandfather and my mother, who both lived through independence, as I'm sure many of your parents and grandparents did, they told me these stories. And all the time when I was growing up, perhaps like some of you, I didn't pay much attention. I didn't really respect those stories. I'd be like, yes, yes, you told me this before. But it was only later I realized how important those stories were about the birth of our nation and how important it was to remember the experiences of what people went through to make this country free. So I wanted to, you know, honor those stories by putting them in fictional form in this book. So I think those are like two important things. And the third one is those people, many of them have passed away. And if we don't remember the story of how we became a nation, how we became free, that is a very sad thing. And we will forget if we don't read about it.
On that note, can you tell us a little bit about the book without spoilers, but also this concept of national dream versus personal dream of independence?
Yeah, so the book has two levels. One is the national level, what is going on in the country, what's going on with the major political figures. And there too, I have chosen to focus on some of the women freedom fighters because their story is pushed to the back as well. Many who were very brave, who died fighting. They died carrying the flag. We'd forgotten them. But also, I wanted to bring in the story of three sisters in a family and their mother and what happens to them. And what are some of the dreams that they've had before this moment of independence hits them in 1946 with the Direct Action Day riots, which changed their lives. And what are their dreams afterwards? And how is independence, the individual independence that we want, how is that related to that national desire for independence? And can we as a nation really be independent if the women of the nation are not allowed independence? So
there's a small section at the beginning of your book about one of the sisters, Priya, assisting her father. Can you read from it?
Sure. So this is early in the book. Priya is the youngest of the three sisters. Her father, Nabu Kumar, who is kind of based a little bit on my own grandfather, is a village doctor. And this is on a night when late in the night, someone knocks on their door. They open the door and it's a poor man. And he says, please come to my house. I'm having an emergency. And Nabu Kumar, who's very kind, who treats poor people without caring if they can give him his fees, says yes. And Priya says, can I accompany you? And he says yes. They walk through the sultry night to the Fisher neighborhood. Narrow paths, shacks leaning drunkenly against each other. The man, his name is Hamid, leads them into the smallest one. Dim light from a smoky lamp, a pregnant woman panting on a mat. The frightened midwife tells them the baby's heartbeat is very faint. The umbilical cord might be tangled, Nabokumar says. He disinfects his hands, examines the patient. I'll have to cut her open. Chloroform. Priya pushes away fear and follows instructions. Press the chloroform rag against the patient's face until she slackens. Clean the belly with antiseptics. Tell Hamid and the midwife to hold the lantern steady. Hand Nabokumar the instruments he calls for. Scalpel, scissors, clamp. Do not flinch when blood wells dark from the incision in the woman's belly. The woman moans. Calm, calm. More chloroform. Count out the drops with a steady hand. Hold the weeping flesh apart. Nabokumar lifts out a baby boy. Cut the cord, serpent coiled around the infant's neck. Hold him by his feet, slap his back, hand him to the midwife when he cries. No time for complacency here. Help to stitch up the woman, clean the blood, tear strips from her mother's saris. Bandage the wound, administer penicillin injection. Tell the overwhelmed Hamid what he must do until the doctor's next visit. The fisherman's eyes well up. He accompanies them back in silence, and at their door, he weeps again, trying to gather words for his gratitude, trying to hand Nabokumar a handful of coins. Nabokumar waves them away, but he does not make Hamid feel small. Bring us some fish when the catch is good, he says. Hamid nods. He walks away, shoulders straighter, head high. Priya thinks, how much I have to learn from Baba about doctoring, about human decency. At the threshold of the sleeping house, she gathers courage. When I took the baby from your hands, knowing that it might have died, but for us, I've never experienced anything as exhilarating. Did I do well? You did wonderfully. Calm and efficient, you were the perfect assistant. She's lightheaded with tiredness, terrified with hope. Will you let me attend the medical college in Calcutta then? I want to be a doctor. It is my dream. Nabokumar looks away. I'm too tired to discuss this right now. This is not the whole truth. He forestalls her each time she tries to bring up the subject, but she is his daughter, inheritress of his stubborn genes. She will not give up. So that is her dream for independence. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And on that subject, I want to talk about women protagonists. Almost every single book of yours is woman-centric. And I read somewhere in an interview where you said you want to make your heroines human. But when I was reading Independence and the story of these Ranipur siblings, Deepa, Jamni, Priya, their mother Beena, and the circumstances that they go through, starting with Direct Action Day, following through to the months after independence and the creation of India and Pakistan, I really thought that the unique situations each of them find themselves in spoke to the many ways in which women were impacted by partition. And that's quite different from the way men or the way in which we remember collective history was impacted. So perhaps could you talk about the scenarios that you wrote them into and what they spoke about, you know, the women's role during partition?
You are so right, Anshul, because women did experience partition differently, and their particular challenges, the violence they faced often on their bodies, you know, it's something we need to remember. It's often not seen, or if it's seen, it's seen through the male gaze. So it was very important for me as a woman to write the stories of these women who were undergoing independence, partition, violence, but also exhilaration, and you know, the coming forth of dreams after a long time. So both the positive and the negative, I had to put them in the center. It's, as you've said, it's always been my project to write the stories of women. I think there are so many wonderful women's stories that have not been told and that can inspire us. Not only epic characters like Draupadi in Palace of Illusions and Sita in Forest of Enchantments, but ordinary women, not just the queens, but ordinary women. I say ordinary in quotes because every woman is extraordinary. And every story is special and original. And I've tried to show how the individual dreams of the girls change. In the beginning, it's a lot about, you know, they're young. They're like almost teenagers, a little beyond teenage. Love, romance, going to adventurous places, experiencing life. But when violence strikes their family, everything changes. And now they begin to understand, what does independence really mean? And what is the price we have to pay for independence?
I think the complexity of that situation as well, that there is no singular way that they can get through things. There is always a sacrifice to be made, either on a professional or a personal level. There is always a dream that's broken. There is always a trauma that needs to be overcome, all for the betterment of the family unit, you know?
Yes. And everything that you said about the family unit is also true on the national level. And I wanted, through the story of these three sisters and the backdrop against which this story is told, for us to remember how much sacrifice went into the creation of our nation. And you know, it is a story that the people who actually lived through it have largely passed away or are passing away. And we have to remember this story. Because maybe for some of us who are born into an already free India, we take it for granted. We take independence for granted. But it was, you know, a lot of people sacrificed so much to gain independence, both on the national level and the personal level. And women like Priya, they fought so hard to be given the right to follow certain careers. And we take that for granted today. So I just want us to remember our history, to appreciate all the people who came before us, who allow us to live our lives with the freedoms that we so easily possess.
I want to talk about secrets. Your book has a lot of... I actually felt that the thread of the book was secrets. There are secrets that we keep from those we love, secrets that we hold dear, even though they are not secrets we own. And I think the unveiling of a secret changes the way we love somebody. So can you talk about the writing of the novel and this very unique thread?
Yes. Secrets, I've always been interested in secrets. So if you've read my other books, you'll see a secret will, it will have an important part to play somewhere. But here especially, secrets were important, certainly on the individual level, as you say. Each of the sisters will have a secret. And in fact, even innocent secrets in the beginning will become powerful and perhaps destructive as the novel goes along. But one of the things I wanted to do in this book is to create resonance between national events and individual events, because I think they are connected. So, you know, on the national level too, there were many secrets. If they had been known, they would have changed the course of our history. They would have changed perhaps the way in which independence happened. For one thing, I'll just give you one. Jinnah was very sick. He had already been diagnosed with cancer. He knew he was going to die in about a year. Didn't tell anyone. If we had known this, I think things would have turned out very differently. But on the personal level, each of the sisters has a secret, and sometimes she's keeping it from the other sisters as well.
It's interesting sometimes to use as collateral at some point, you know, and so also the family, the notion of the family is really interesting because there is, sisters of course have a complicated relationship, but in this case, they are sometimes fighting either for the same thing or are jealous. Well, jealousy plays a huge role as well. I want to talk about the research you did for this book, because I'm a historian of partition. I know what goes into recreating the landscape of that time and making it available for readers so that they feel like they can be immersed in that time. Was it a challenge? What did you refer to?
Yes, you are so right, Anshul, and you know this from your own books. Once we start doing research, there is this temptation to never stop doing research, because there's so much out there. And also because doing research, at least for me, is easier than actually writing the book. So, but it makes you feel very virtuous when you're doing research. So sometimes I just keep doing research to put off the writing. But in this case, I had a sense of urgency. I wanted this book to come out in the 75th year of our independence. So at a certain point, I said, no more research. I have to actually sit down and write. But my sources were, of course, the family stories, but also the newspapers of the time. And it was very interesting because the newspapers gave such different interpretations and even different facts. So I had to sift through a lot, depending on who publishes that newspaper. It was very different. And also at a certain point, I knew through doing later research and scholarly books about the death toll. And the newspapers of the time, for very good reasons, suppressed the death toll, largely suppressed the violence that was happening on the borders. And so I had to read through those, understand why, because they didn't want to inflame people further. They didn't want even more violence to come out of people reading or seeing those terrible photos. But I did do a lot of photographic research as well, which for me was very powerful because it showed, you know, the dead, it showed the burnt buildings, it showed, you know, the devastated streets. Once I did that research, though, I had to step back from it and think about it from the point of view of my characters. How much of this would they have known? So I could only put into their chapters what they would have known and what they would have felt.
I think it's very interesting writing historical fiction, because we are writing about moments now we know so much about, but I think it's so challenging to put what your characters would know at the time from a perspective of knowing more, you know. And so I want to ask, does inserting things like large historical events into fiction allow people to learn from those events more?
Yes, I have always learned a great deal from the fiction I have read. You learn from nonfiction in one way, but when we read fiction and we look at those events as our characters are going through them, as the characters we are reading are going through them, we identify with them in a more human way. I think we feel the times. Otherwise, we know intellectually about the times. But, and of course, I'm a fiction writer, so I'm biased, but when we read their stories, when we are living their stories, because that's what we do as readers, we are living the experience of the book, then we are reliving on a very core level.
I'm thinking most people learn about partition through the early novels. You learn about loss through Khushwant Singh. You learn about the insanity of borders through Toba Tek Singh. And I feel there are really true lessons that can be deposited within fiction that stay with people longer.
Yes. I wanted to say one more thing, which is not so much is written about the partition that was going on in Bengal.
That was my next question.
Okay.
And actually, why do you think that is? You know, as partition scholars, I write about both sides of the border, but as partition scholars, we can see that there is an inequality. And as mentioned earlier, the Sindh experience, the experience of Kashmir, Hyderabad, Gujarat, Northeast, Assam, Rajasthan, there is very little written. Punjab dominates. So why do you think that is? There may not be a definitive answer to this, but in your opinion.
I think there's no definitive answer, but perhaps, you know, some of the writers you mentioned, the really powerful writers, that was the region they were most personally associated with. That was the story they felt a need to tell. Just for me, as for me, I know it's a national story, the story of these sisters on the Bengal border, but it's also special to me, and I can write more, I think, from the heart, because it's a personal story for me. So, and it's been written about beautifully in Bengali, but not so much in English. So I felt it was really important for us, for me to try and fill that gap, and for all of you to experience what was going on in Bengal, which was really a hub of the nationalist movement, which played a very important part during independence. In fact, it was one of Gandhiji's favorite cities. He often came to Bengal when India was becoming independent on the 14th of August. He was not in the capital, he was in Kolkata, right? So I wanted to make sure that everyone appreciates that and knows that, because if there are any Bengalis in the audience, we just love Bengali culture. Let's see some hands, yes.
I want to talk about the dichotomy of independence versus partition. They are not the same thing. They evoke different emotions. People celebrate the joy of independence and the loss that comes with partition. And you handle this quite elegantly in the book through the lives of the sisters and the secondary characters associated with them. So could you talk about this dichotomy of emotion?
Yes, it is a dichotomy of emotion, but I think it's really important, and in the novel I've tried to create that, to understand we can't separate these two, right? The joy of independence, a true joy, a true achievement, right? We are finally free of the colonial yoke. It's a true joy, but it comes as a great price, and that's the price of partition. So there are two prices. The price that people together fought, fighting against the British, the price that they paid, the incarcerations, the deaths, all of those, and then the more bitter price of partition, where, you know, so much death, so much suffering, which looking back, I thought, and perhaps you will agree, need not have been. You know, I felt so deeply that need not have been. But I also understood something. We like to separate these emotions in our lives. We want to say, this is joy and I want this, and this is loss and I don't want this. But that's not how it happens in the world. If you think about maybe important moments in your life, joy and loss were perhaps mingled in it, right? And as human beings, we need to understand that.
There's no linear way to tell a story. There's much in the book that can actually be considered quite contemporary, least of all the fact that there are multiple interfaith relationships or the fact that communal violence is rampant. When you were writing the book, in the world that we live in today, did you feel resonance of the present day in the text?
Definitely. I felt a great deal of resonance. And I think some of the resonance I felt is because we are forgetting our early history, right? We are forgetting how people of different faiths truly stood side by side and fought beside each other to make India happen. And, you know, if we forget those early lessons, we're just going to repeat the mistakes of those early times as well. So I felt that there was a sense, and we'll see it early in the book when the older freedom fighters are talking among themselves and they remember how, you know, there's a Hindu character, a main character, and a very important Muslim character, and they remember how they fought side by side, how they went on the salt marches together. And it's just important for us to remember that people came together, they were Indians first. And it is so important. We need to be Indians first. Yes, there are differences, but we are Indians first. That is how we make our nation prosper, grow, become more beautiful. Thank you for agreeing.
Would you like to read the postscript of the book?
Okay. Yes, so sometimes people ask me, well, why did you write this book? And, you know, we talked a little bit about this, and I want to read the postscript. Now the book is divided into different portions, and each portion starts with a little segment that gives a national overview before we go into the sisters' lives. But at the end, there is a postscript. And the postscript, really, it came to me. I had not intended writing it, but it came to me, and it seemed so important. I really want to share it with you because it is addressed to you, my readers. It begins very much like the first little section, but it's different. Here is a river. Here is a wind rising. Here is a village. Here is the year. The river is time, ebbing, flooding. The wind is memory. It can carry flowers. It can carry flames. The village is the world, and you are at its center. The year is now. What will you do with it? What will you do? Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Jaipur Bites. I'm your host, Laksh Datta. This podcast is produced by Launchora in association with Teamwork Arts. Please follow or subscribe to this show wherever you're listening to this to be notified about new episodes.